Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you for OU Radio the last two Mishnayot, Mishnah 11 and 12, in Chapter 3 of Baba Matzia. Hamafkin ma'oritzol shulchani im sururim lo yishtamesh ben. Lefichach im avado eino chayav ba'achar yuta. Mutarin yishtamesh ben lefichach im avado chayav ba'achar yuta. One who gives money to a money exchanger, that is somebody whose job is to essentially exchange coins or cash, if the items are tied up, meaning in a way that the owner clearly does not want them to be used by the money exchanger, who is very, very commonly, that's his business essentially, is to use coins and money. So he's sending a message to the money exchanger, don't use them. And therefore, on one hand, the person can't use them and should not use them, and if he does, he becomes responsible for them. But essentially, because he is not allowed to use them at all, his status is a shomer chinam. The coins are all tied up, he gets no benefit from them, and he's not getting paid for it. And therefore, if they're lost or they're stolen, he is not responsible, unless he does something irresponsible, as we saw in previous Mishnayot. However, if the coins are not tied up, something very interesting happens. Even though this money exchanger, this money lender, is not being paid specifically to watch over the person's coins, nonetheless, since the person knows that the coin exchanger, the money exchanger, will actually use them as a part of his business, so therefore the coin exchanger, the money exchanger, actually gets a benefit from it, in the fact that he now has a wider range of coins to use. And since he is getting a secondary benefit of it, out of it, he is no longer considered a shomer chinam, an unpaid watchman, but now he's considered a paid watchman. That is, it doesn't have to just be specifically, you watch over my coins and I'll give you $30 at the end for watching them for a day. That's not the only way you can make a shomer chinam. It's here, you watch these coins, and if you happen to need them for your business and you use them for your business, enjoy. So that enjoyment, that hana'a, by itself is really a cash payment of sorts, or a non-cash payment of sorts. And therefore, since the person is a shomer sachar, first of all, he can use them because the person indicated by not tying them up all in a nice, neat knot with a sign essentially that says, you know, stay away from these coins, don't use them in your business. Not only could the person use them, but unfortunately then a person is responsible for theft and loss as a shomer sachar would. Aval bala bayit, but if the person loans money or gives a bunch of coins to a standard owner of a house, meaning somebody who's not in the money exchanging business, bein surin, bein mutarim, lo yishtamesh ben. It doesn't make a difference whether you give it to that person all tied up in a nice little knot which says, stay away from me, don't use me, or whether they're in a loose bundle of change. Because either way, since it's not that the guard's business to deal with money, the expectation is, don't use my money. Therefore, first of all, he shouldn't use the money, and second of all, if it's lost or stolen, he is not responsible for the loss, the guard, because the guard is a shomer chinam. He gets no paid benefit. Neither explicitly he's not being paid here, nor is he getting implicit benefit of being able to use the cash. And therefore, as a shomer chinam, he is not responsible for theft and loss. And now finally, the Mishnah deals with sort of an in-between case. So what happens if the person who's watching over your coins is a chenvani? Chenvani kebala bayit divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir feels that a storekeeper is considered like a normal house owner, which means that unless you're actively involved in money exchanging and the use of coins as coins rather than just a way to sell and buy the goods in your little store or your big store, so therefore you are not considered a professional money person. And whether the coins are tied up, whether not tied up, there is no expectation that you'll use them. You shouldn't use them, and you're not responsible for their theft and loss because you're a shomer chinam. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, chenvani kishulchani, that a shopkeeper is just like a money exchanger, and therefore, since he deals with money, cash, coins all the time, he will definitely take benefit out of those. And if you didn't tie it up carefully, which was an indication that the person not use it, you have to assume that a storekeeper will use it. In that case, he can use it, but he is considered a paid watchman, a shomer sachar, and therefore is responsible for theft or loss. Moving on to Mishnah Yud Bet, the last Mishnah, we're now back to the issue of a watch person who uses the item for his own needs. This is a Shomer Chinam who should be completely hands-off. It's a big no-no. You should not touch the things that are put into your keeping, and if you do use them for your own purposes, you become responsible for them. And now the Mishnah just wants to know how much you're responsible for of the item, because it deals with a very real-world situation that when you receive an item, it may appreciate or depreciate. Hasholeach yad pikadon, Beit Shami Yomim, yilakeh b'chaser uveyeter. So a person who literally he sends his hand out. What it means, he grabs for his own purposes an item that was left in his keeping as a Shomer Chinam. Beit Shammai says he gets whipped, literally whipped, but it really means he gets punished with losses and with gains. So what that means is with appreciation or with depreciation. I'll use a simple case. So the Gemara talks about a sheep that grows wool, that it either grows wool or it's shorn, or an animal that was bearing a calf or was not bearing calf. But I'll use a simpler case, which is, let's say you get a bar of gold. And at the time that you got the bar of gold, somebody said, here's a bar of gold, it's worth $1,000 an ounce. Or let's say it's an ounce of gold, and it's worth $1,000 on the market. Please watch it for me. And you decide that you're going to play with it, use it, whatever it is, you're sholeach yad, and you shouldn't have. But what happens is gold goes down to $500. And it's lost or it's stolen, and now you are responsible to pay back. So the question is, what do you pay back? According to Beit Shammai, either way you lose. If the gold depreciated down to $500, then you're yilakeh b'chaser. You still get punished with the loss, because you have to pay the original $1,000 that it was worth when you took possession of it in the first place. But if the gold goes up to $2,000 and you used it and it was lost or stolen, then you have to pay the full $2,000. So either way you lose. If it depreciates, you pay back the original value. If it appreciates in value, you pay back the appreciated value. And it's clear that Beit Shammai, from his use of the word yilakeh, is really doing this to punish the person for irresponsibly touching something that he was not supposed to touch. He was supposed to guard it. He could have moved it around to keep it safe, but he could not have moved it or used it or utilized it in any way for his own purposes. He did, and Beit Shammai clearly wants to stick it to him. Beit Hillel omrim kishat hotza'ah. Beit Hillel disagrees and says, no, the money that you pay back is at the time of hotza'ah. Now there's a dispute among the Rishonim what hotza'ah means. Rashi feels hotza'ah means at the time of theft, that is when you took it out to use it on the outside, when you stole it yourself. So at that point, whatever it was worth at that point, that's where you pay back. If it was worth $750, if it had depreciated $250, you only pay the $250. If it had appreciated at that point, that's what you have to pay, because that's when you became the irresponsible person. The Bar Nura disagrees and feels actually that it has to do with the time that it was received. Hotza'ah means hotza'ah from the owner to the guardian. So whatever it was worth when you became a guardian, that's the amount that you have to pay back. Whether it appreciates or depreciates is not the issue, because that would have happened anyway. But whatever it was when you took when you took watchmanship over it, that's the amount that you have to pay back. Rabbi Akiva comes up with a third opinion, and he says, Bishat or Kishat Tatvia, which says that you make an evaluation of the worth of the item at the time that the person sued in court. Based on a pasuk, Rabbi Akiva feels that the only time that you turn into a thief is not really when you misuse the item, when you were a guard and you decided that you were going to use that item for your own purposes. It was when you were sued. That's when the court decides that we're going to court. When the person says, hey, you're a thief and I'm going to take you to court, at that point you become a thief based on the pasuk, and that's when the value is assessed at. There is a more complex way to understand Rabbi Akiva. The Tosfot goes into it, but we'll stick with the more straightforward way to understand Rabbi Akiva, that it's a straightforward three-way argument. Rabbi Beit Shammai, just to review, has you take the losses, whether it appreciates or depreciates. Beit Hillel says, either according to Rashi, it's the time that you stole it is when you evaluate what you have to return. And according to the Bar Nur, it's the time that you took possession as a guardian that you have to return that price. And Rabbi Akiva says it's the time when you were sued in court for your irresponsibility with that item. And now we move on to a new law in the Mishnah. Hachoshev lishloach yad b'pikadon, beit shami omrim chayav. Now here the word choshev doesn't mean thought. We're not exactly talking about a thought crime here. Choshev really means planned, which means even if you told somebody of your plans to misuse an item, so at that point, Beit Shammai says you become responsible for it. So if something happens to it, even though you didn't actually touch it, but you said, hey guys, I'm going to take this item and I'm going to go down to the track and I'm going to use it to bet and I'll give the guy back the money from all the profits I'm taking. So if you didn't actually do it, you're not... So I'm sorry, so according to Beit Shammai, even if you didn't actually do it, you are still responsible for it because you stated it or planned it. Beit Hillel Omrim, Enu Chayavad Shishlach Bo Yad, Shneamar, Im Lo Shalach Yad, Do, B'mlach Re'ehu. Based on a pasuk, Beit Hillel says, if you didn't do it, you're not responsible. You could have all the dreams you want, and even state all the dreams you want of misusing somebody's item that they left with you, and it doesn't make a difference until you actually do it. The next part of the Mishnah starts off with the word ketzad, which means how. And when it says ketzad, when a Mishnah says ketzad, it wants to give a case which describes one of the previous rulings. Not everybody has the word ketzad here, and you will see that it doesn't exactly fit. But for right now, we'll read the ketzad as if it's trying to give a scenario that backs up one of the laws we've seen. Now, we've seen four statements so far. Two laws. The first law had to do with what amount of loss you take. Beit Shammai said you always take the worst loss. Beit Hillel says you take the loss at the time that either you became the shomer, or according to Rashi that you stole the item. And Rabbi Akiva says at the time that you were accused in court. So if this ketzad does mean to give a scenario for one of those three, the only one that fits is that it's describing Beit Hillel, and this is how it works out. Hita et chavit. If you tilted a barrel, let's say you had a barrel of wine and you simply tilted it. You didn't pick it up. You didn't misuse it. You didn't drag it around. You didn't climb on it. All you did was tilt it a little bit. But natali min revit, and you took, let's say, 1/4 of probably not the barrel, 1/4 of a certain amount of wine. Vinishbura, and it broke at that point. Ena mashalim ella. Al haravi'it, then you're only responsible for the fourth that you took. Higbia, but if you picked up the barrel, the natal memen haravi'it, and then you took the 1/4 and nishbra, and it broke, mishalim demei kula, then you pay for the whole thing. So we're learning here, not only are when you tilt something, you're only responsible not for the entire item, because you only tilted it, but you are responsible for the quarter that you siphoned off, which makes sense point to Beit Hillel, because Beit Hillel says it's at the time that you either took it or stole it. And if you picked it up and broke it, then you're responsible again for the time that you took it or you stole it or you misused it, and then you have to pay for the whole barrel. It's possible, however, that this is really, since that's very obvious, that doesn't really add anything to what Rabbi Akiva said, it could just be, and the Bart Neur suggested that this is true, that the word ketzad really does not belong there, and it's simply a new idea. And an interesting idea, which is that when we're talking about misusing and misappropriating, you actually have to do something for real. You have to, if it's a barrel, you got to lift it up. Otherwise, you're not responsible for the breakage of the whole barrel, because just by tilting it, it doesn't really indicate that you misused it. All you did was misuse the part that you siphoned off, and that's the only part you're responsible for. However, if you did lift it up, even if you only took a quarter of it because you misused the entire thing for the sake of that little bit that you drunk, and it breaks, then you're responsible to pay the entirety of the loss.